It's no secret that our parents' experiences shape who we become. Sigmund Freud figured that out more than 100 years ago. Now, usually people interpret this to mean that the lessons your parents taught you helped to mold your character. You know, if they set high expectations for you, for example, then you were likely to do better in school. Or if they made you do chores around the house, you would grow up to take more initiative at work, that kind of thing. But, you know, it works in subtler ways, too. We watch our parents, and we see how they live their lives, and that informs and influences the decisions that we go on to make. All of the decisions we go on to make, including philanthropy. I'm Deborah Melman Clement, and this is Cause and Effect, a Queen's Alumni Review podcast where we dive into the motivations of philanthropists and explore what they're passionate about and the impact they have on the world. Kazmet Niyongabo's decision to become a philanthropist was absolutely shaped by his parents' experiences, but not in the way you might think. And his decision to make higher education his personal cause was also shaped by his parents' experiences, but also not in the way you might think. You see, Kazmet's family is from Burundi, a tiny African country just right in there between Tanzania and the Congo. His parents believed that education was important, and they both went to university in Europe, which is where they met. His mother was studying to be a veterinarian in Bulgaria when she ran into some financial trouble.
My mom had to move universities and come to a university in Sofia, where they were like $300 shy of being able to make tuition because she transferred from veterinarian sciences to essentially like med school. And they were just too broke, and they couldn't, she essentially couldn't graduate and or couldn't continue. So she came back to Burundi and had me there.
$300. That was all that stood between Kazmet's mother and her dream of becoming a veterinarian and staying in Europe. Going back to Burundi was not at all what Kazmet's parents wanted to do. After all, Burundi wasn't exactly a safe place to raise a young family.
There was a genocide in Burundi in 1972 where my grandparents, on my dad's side, my granddad was assassinated. And so it was like very traumatic for that whole generation. And a lot of them wanted to make a big kind of change, right? So dad was very politically motivated to make those changes.
The son of an assassinated leader, Kazmet's father was an ambitious young man and also a bit of a visionary. He decided that if he was going to have to live in Burundi again, he was going to make things better by starting his own political party.
And so when he came back to Burundi, there were like a few complications. One, he found out that there was someone that had already had a similar idea of creating a political party that was quite aligned and was quite far along that journey. So that essentially said, hey, well, I can probably just help him out. And so he managed a campaign, and Dadaye won the first one of the first democratically elected presidents of Burundi.
Melchior Dadaye, the newly elected president, ushered in a new era of hope for Burundians. But you know what? It did not go well for him, or for anyone else, for that matter.
Dadaye was assassinated just a few months into his presidency. But since Dad had managed his campaign, he was sent to Paris as the ambassador.
Kazmet moved to Paris with his father and stepmom, returning to Burundi shortly after the assassination.
It was a very hard time in Burundi in 93, right? There was a big civil war. I remember one time I had to actually sleep at the school because as dad was trying to pick me up, I could clearly see someone with a grenade that was just waiting for the door to open to then kind of throw it in the car.
His father's diplomatic status kept the family safe. And eventually he got a new posting as Burundi's ambassador to Canada. Kazmet was 12 when the family moved to Ottawa, and he stayed there until the end of high school. As Freud was so quick to point out, our parents' experiences shape our decisions. So it's not all that surprising that Kazmet knew that his next step after high school would be university. The bigger decision he faced was which university. He chose Queen's because he remembered it from a middle school field trip.
it was one of the only universities that didn't offer me any actual like bursary. But I thought, hey, you know, it's got an amazing reputation. The city is amazing. I should just kind of try it out.
Once he committed to coming to Queens, Kazmat had to figure out how he was going to pay for it.
Being from Burundi, my family never really thought that I'd be going to school in Canada. So we didn't have the kind of savings that I have for my kids. They're going to be fine when they go through, but I just didn't have that luxury.
With the help of a few bursaries, many of them set up by generous alumni donors, Kazmat came to Queens to study biochemistry. He remembers his undergraduate experience fondly. He made close friends, ran for office, and learned a lot about himself, including the fact that, apparently, he had chosen the wrong major.
I kind of realized that I didn't love biochemistry. And I spoke to my art teacher because I was feeling a little bit lost, my high school art teacher. And I was like, hey, you know, like, here's the situation. Like, I really want to make a bit of a shift. And he's like, you know, have you thought about engineering? And I was like, oh, not really. But that's kind of cool. It's like creative and you get to solve problems. And so I did the shift into engineering. And when I had to declare my major, we went to one of the engineering nights and saw this like million ton blast. And I was like, I'd love to get into that, but also do something like mechanical engineering. So I did the mine mat concentration.
Kazmat has been in the mining business since he graduated. His career, 11 years old and counting, has included stops with 5 companies developing technologies and processes for mines in Western Canada. A few years ago, he came back to Queens to earn an MBA at Smith School of Business. And today, he is an associate with the management consulting firm McKinsey & Company. All you have to do is talk with Kazmat for a few minutes to see how passionate he is about mining and its impact on the world. He sees it as a viable solution to a lot of the most pressing problems, including the ones identified by the United Nations in their 17 Sustainable Development Goals. A lot of those problems are top of mind in Burundi, which the World Population Review placed at the very top of this year's poorest countries in the world list. And when Kazmat puts the pieces of his puzzle together, he envisions using his mining knowledge to bring new prosperity to his home country.
My dad still lives in Burundi. It's a pretty tough place to live in, right? In the summer, not everybody gets power 24/7, right? So like you get electricity and then there's only one electric dam in the whole country. So they just don't have enough power to power every house. So with management consulting, one of the things that I would love to do is to see what I can do to help with, you know, just that kind of power crisis in Africa. A 300 megawatt small modular reactor would be this huge, amazing possibility to power a lot of what we have in Africa. Obviously, it can't be done right now because it's too expensive, but it's a really ambitious project. There are a lot of people working on that exact same kind of problem, but you know, a person can dream. And I think that the ability to have a plan that could potentially just lift billions of people out of poverty is really neat.
Considering that he's the son of a man who was this close to starting his own political party, it's not surprising that Kazmat has ambitious goals. And while he waits for the stars to align so that he can pursue them, he's found another way to make his mark on the world. Shortly after his undergrad, Kazmat decided to become a philanthropist.
I really wanted to do something for the university. And at that point, I had just graduated from the mining engineering school. And I thought it would be good to give back to the school and to allow for other people that would have been in my situation to be afforded an education with a little bit less stress.
So he made a planned gift, a way of expressing his gratitude for the bursaries he received as a student and paying the favor forward. Kazmat's gift combines his two causes, education and mining, and helps encourage students to study mining engineering. Of course, Kazmat was fresh out of undergrad when he came up with the whole idea, and he didn't exactly have the resources to set up a bursary. So he got creative.
When I put myself through school, I was very grateful for every single bursary that I received. And I thought, hey, if we can do something like that, I think that'd be pretty amazing. And especially when we're a little bit younger and earlier in our career, I think it's a little bit tougher to make a substantial change with donation, but you know, you can make a planned gift, and that makes a potentially really big difference later on.
Usually, when we think about wills and gift planning, we tend to think of it as a decision we make later in life. So it's a bit surprising that Kazmit and his wife, Jessica, were thinking so far ahead. After all, most people don't make their first planned gifts until they're in their 50s. It may have been an unusual decision, but for Kazmit, it was a sensible way to support the causes that are so important to him. Sensible, but also invigorating.
It's one thing to say, like, yeah, like, I want everybody to really look into this, but it's another to say, yeah, like, I know that in a very small way, I am enabling people that have more energy, more will to discover and push. You know, you're kind of like allowing them to get a chance to do that. And I can think of very few things in life that are more exhilarating than giving someone an opportunity to excel.
When Kazmit thinks back on the opportunities he's been given to excel, it all comes back to his parents. The decisions they made, the circumstances they were thrown into, and the extraordinary events of their extraordinary lives that shaped his life and inspired his choices, including his philanthropy.
One of the really amazing things that happened for me was Dad having that chance to then, you know, be ambassador in Canada, and then our family moving out here. And one thing, like one thread that kind of ties it all together, you know, like that $300 that my parents didn't have, that like really severely changed the course of their life. Whenever I can do any kind of difference to help someone else, you know, whether I know them or not, that has a talent to do something successful, I think to me it's quite fulfilling.
I want to wrap up by taking just a moment to thank our executive producers, Karen Bertrand and Scott Anderson. I also want to thank some of my advancement colleagues, Michelle Foucault, Sarah Franca, Rochelle Castellano, Natalie Shearer, Nicole Lynch, Alex Becerra, Callum Linden, Yeshi Dolma, Grace Morton, and Wendy Treverton. And of course, I want to thank Kazmit Niyongabo for so generously sharing his truly amazing story with us. If you have an amazing story about philanthropy that you want to share, well, we definitely want to hear from you. Reach out to your relationship manager if you have one, or you can look for me on the Advancement Staff Directory at queensu.ca. I'm Deborah Melman Clement, and this was Cause and Effect. If you want more, you can subscribe on Spotify, Apple, Google, or Amazon.